direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
So very grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We are working through this week John's Gospel, chapter 14, the first 11 verses. This is a very encouraging, comforting section for Christians. And this week, if you are a Christian, this series is greatly going to uplift you to see the care of Christ for his sheep. It is also a very sincere, introspective passage calling those who don't believe to recognize how alone and lost they are in this world, groping about in the darkness without hope and without God. So, John chapter 14, I pray that every listener would take to heart what we open up and study this week. I think one of the worst tragedies in this life would be to go through it all alone. Most people in this world are passing through the moments of their existence alone and in the darkness. I think one of the most painful tragedies is to visit hospitals and see people mourning over the death of a loved one, or seeing somebody suffer all alone who does not have the Lord. They go through the sorrow and the pain alone. We don't stop and think about this, but all the afflictions that we have here, all the sorrows that we've witnessed people go through, can you imagine going through these things if you're a Christian today without any hope, without any idea, without any understanding of why you exist, what your purpose is, and without any real comfort through it all? That is a tragedy. Imagine having in a moment everything taken from you and there's no answer. There's no consolation, no encouragement, no one who really loves you. You're utterly alone to face the guilt that remains of living a life that everyone intuitively has on their conscience, a life void of trust and belief in the God of heaven and earth. What I just described is much of this sad world. It hurts even to think about. We, of course, take for granted the life of Christian comfort that is given to us. When a Christian gets sick, they are often surrounded by a church family that loves them. By the way, an important reason to be a part of the body of Christ. In any situation of life, we can call out to the Lord, and He's not just promised to hear us, but in the sorrow to actually give strength to help us. And then we get to rise every morning with the assurance of the promise of the gospel, that Christ has forgiven us, that nothing can separate us from His love, that He went and paid the penalty for us so that we will never be condemned, and therefore, whatever happens, the Lord has committed Himself to ensure that it works for good in us, so that in the end, when we die, we are taken to this place in which Christ says many mansions are reserved for us. If you're a Christian today, the question is, dear Christian, do you know what you have? The sad matter of fact is that often the way we live is so incredibly unthankful to the Lord, it's almost as if we live thinking that such comfort is an entitlement that we deserve. And in the West, there's the real danger of confusing comfort with affluence and leisure and narcissistic living. That's not the comfort the Bible speaks of. The passage that we're studying this week should drive us to see what true comfort is and the purpose that Christ has given us this comfort. The aim of comfort, the reason Christ here comforts His disciples in this passage, is with the goal of strengthening their faith, so as to inspire a deep love and gratitude for who He is and what He has come to do. I'm not sure anything is more needed today than to see afresh what it costs the Son of God that He might say to you today, if you're a Christian, "Let not your heart be troubled." There's a little word that I'm focusing on this week because the ramifications of its meaning are overwhelming to the Christian life. In verse 1 of John chapter 14, Jesus calls for an end to the disciples' distress in life. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, that word troubled in your English Bibles is a fair word, but it really doesn't fully describe what's going on here. In the original, it means to be thrown into a state of confusion or panic. That's exactly what has happened by John 14 to the disciples. He was not calming them down for something that would happen. It had already happened in chapter 13, and the imagery here is that of a shepherd standing over his flock, and his calming, wooing voice is stilling the hearts of his sheep that are in panic and thrown into the state of confusion. Now, I want you to think about how distressing here for a moment everything has become. The beginning of John chapter 13 began what is called as the upper room discourse. This is the night before Jesus' crucifixion. Now, what have the disciples experienced with Jesus? Well, he had fed them in the wilderness. He had silenced the waters when they were about to crush them on the sea. He had come to them in splendor and glory. And then to think of all that he carried upon himself, all that he did to show his power in raising the dead, raising Lazarus, healing a blind man who was born blind from birth, giving strength and healing to a man who was lame for 38 years, all the way along, feeding the multitudes, feeding the 5,000, making promise upon promise, the disciples had come to love to be with Jesus and to hear his teaching. So powerful, so many promises, so much said. And yet in verse 33 of John chapter 13, the worst of statements was made. I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, but where I'm going, you cannot come. Feel that? What do you mean you're leaving us? These words must have greatly distressed the disciples. How they had struggled over what Jesus was describing, especially when he adds, where I'm going, you cannot follow now. Imagine what sort of thoughts race through their minds. Most importantly, where is the Messiah going? Why is he leaving us? He has been talking of his coming death, and now he's saying that we can't come. Where are you going, Jesus? And then in chapter 13, there was an awful thing revealed. In chapter 13, Jesus openly looked at his disciples and said, one of you will betray me. One of their own. One of the close associates, one of those walking with Jesus, Judas Iscariot, would betray him. Can't imagine the heart-wrenching pain they must have felt at such a thought. And then to think of the words Jesus said to Peter at the end of chapter 13, when the rooster crows, you will have denied me, Peter, three times. Wow, you are not even going to have the strength to remain with me through this. You ever feel like this, dear listener? You ever feel like God is just so hard to hold on to? Here's an example. Peter tried and he failed. What a combination of terribly tragic events. When they say it rains, it pours. Everything has fallen apart. Before them is a major problem. The situation seems so bleak. It seems so hopeless. Now, this is the benefit of studying this, having the written word, because, well, we get to see the big picture. As bleak and as painful as all of this feels, I don't know if you caught it, but Jesus here uses a word to communicate that the distress and agitation of this all, they don't have to shoulder. This is going to mean a lot for the Christian life. This is going to explain a lot this week. When everything falls apart, Jesus here is calming the disciples, and he says openly at the beginning of chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Now, Jesus was not giving a suggestion. Oh, you guys in life, when everything starts falling apart, just don't worry. That's how Joel Osteen pushes us on. That's how the pastors today teach us. So stop worrying. That's not what Jesus was doing. He was taking the burden upon himself. If you turn back to chapter 12 today of John's gospel, you'll notice that this same word was already used. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Chapter 12, verse 27, Jesus says this again. It's the exact word Jesus used to speak of himself. This is what John 12, 27 says. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. As soon as he said that, the hour has come. What had happened, dear listener, is that intense suffering on his soul began to fall. Can you imagine living with this? The whole time you exist here on earth, you have to go to the cross. You're being betrayed. A thief is carrying your money box. Right now begins the hour you came to be judged under the law, to take on the sins of the world, to become a curse, to face the extreme wrath of God on your soul. We can't even begin to imagine this. No one covered him in that distress. No one came along to Jesus and said, "Don't be troubled, Jesus." No one said, "Let not your heart be troubled." His soul was thrown into intense agitation. His soul was deeply disturbed. The horrors of the cross were beginning to be felt. The human soul of Christ had just been shook to its very depths. He knows as he soon will enter Gethsemane, he will descend into hell and have faced the dreadful thought and the weight to pay for the sins of his people. We just don't know this. Now, dear listener, you see how moving chapter 14 is then? He emphatically, in all of the distresses of life for the disciples, and all these events that had shook them to the core, emphatically raised his voice. Just like he did when he stilled the waters out on the sea, he lifted his voice and commanded them to stop from being troubled any longer. Do not let your heart be troubled. You know, I want to say this today. Two different kinds of people in life, when they get bad news or they're faced with situations that throw them into intense agitation and panic. I've seen Christians, when this happens, maybe they've been given the news they have cancer, they're going to die. No matter what's happened, I've over and over heard as a pastor, so many of them say, "It's the strangest thing. I have this peace. I have this strength that I never had before." Do you know why? Because the work of Christ on behalf of the believer was to shoulder and to carry those burdens. Isaiah said that, prophesied that about the Messiah. He's borne our sicknesses and he's carried our sorrows. That's what Christ does for the Christian. The unbeliever, sadly, gets to go through all these things alone. What a tragic life, forfeits all this care and love that could be his in Christ. So what do I say today? To the Christian, look at what you have. To the non-Christian, look at what you're missing. Come to Christ, trust Christ, and you will know this comfort in life and in death. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days are the worship service times. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.